before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst.
Hello and welcome to this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And as always, thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. Well, let's jump right into this month's beer news. The 8th Annual Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, held on Saturday, August 11th, was another great success this year. Hundreds of beer lovers braved the rainy skies to listen to live music and taste beers from over 20 breweries. For the 7th year in a row, Kenai River Brewing Company received the People's Choice Award for Best Brewery, while first-time attendee Bleeding Heart Brewery of Palmer won the People's Choice Award for Best Beer with its Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter. The festival is produced by the Soldotna Rotary Club, and all proceeds go to support local Rotary projects. We'll have interviews with attendees later in the show. On Sunday, August 12th, the Brewery to Bathroom 0.5K was held in Soldotna. Over 200 racers braved the grueling 0.5K course from Kenai River Brewing Company to the Soldotna Creek Park bathrooms and back, raising at the final tally $4,246 for the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life on the Kenai Peninsula. Another new brewery has opened, this time in Ketchikan. Bowden Street Brewing Company opened for business in mid-July at 325 Bowden Street. Also in Ketchikan, the long-gestating Baleen Brewing has taken delivery of its brewhouse equipment, so it too will likely be open for business soon. Arcos Brewery in Palmer has taken delivery of four more 20-barrel fermenters as part of its 20,000 pints project. This 80-barrel increase in fermentation capacity translates to 20,000 pints, hence the name. Tickets are now on sale for the 2018 Great Alaska Beer Train. On October 6th, the train will run from Anchorage to Portage and back with beer, food, and music for the revelers on board. Visit the Alaska Railroad website for tickets. Growth for small and independent craft brewers remains stable for the first half of 2018, according to new mid-year metrics released by the Brewers Association, the not-for-profit trade association dedicated to small and independent American brewers. Production volume for the craft segment increased 5% during the first half of 2018. Quote, "While more mature, the market continued to show demand for small and independent craft brewers," said Bart Watson, chief economist at the Brewers Association. "There are certainly industry headwinds, but this stabilized growth rate is reflective of the market realities that exist for brewers today," end quote. As of June 30th, there were 6,655 active breweries, up from 5,562 during a comparable time frame last year. An estimated 2,500 to 3,000 breweries are in planning based on active alcohol and tobacco tax and trade bureau licenses. Quote, "The data demonstrates that 2018 is on pace to have the highest number of brewery openings and closings to date. However, even as breweries close, openings continue to far outpace the number that shutter," added Watson. "New players looking to enter the space should be aware of the constructs of the current landscape and work to differentiate themselves and will need to make quality beer to succeed," end quote. The latest beer from Alaskan Brewing Company's pilot series is Imperial Pumpkin Porter, just in time for the onset of fall in Southeast Alaska. Inspired by the harvest season and the huge vegetables produced by Alaska's long summer days, Imperial Pumpkin Porter is big, bold, and full of rich pumpkin flavor. Quote, "While we've had a beautiful stretch of summer weather here in Juneau, there's no denying that fall is right around the corner," said Alaskan head brewer Rob Day. "This year, we took inspiration from some pumpkin beers we've brewed in the past, but bigger. We were kind of keeping the huge pumpkins grown up in the Mat-Su Valley in mind when we added over 11 pounds of pumpkin to every barrel of this Imperial Porter. We went a little pumpkin crazy, to be honest," end quote. Alaska's long daylight hours produce some of the largest pumpkins in the world, which can weigh in at 1,200 pounds or more. The pumpkin's smooth, velvety texture and slightly sweet flavor call to mind a holiday meal, perfect as Alaskan recommends this beer be paired with harvest fare like turkey, sweet potatoes, and of course, pumpkin pie. Quote, "We wanted to make a pumpkin beer that was on the bigger side, not too sweet, and that could stand up to pairing with hearty holiday meals," remarked Day. "Plus, most people instinctively reach for robust, comforting beers as the days get shorter and the weather gets colder. By making an amped-up Imperial version of our pumpkin porter, we definitely checked all those boxes," end quote. Imperial Pumpkin Porter is a new version of 2014 fan favorite Pumpkin Porter. With a higher alcohol by volume at 8.5%, it embodies the same smooth, robust pumpkin flavor and slightly smoky aftertaste with the inclusion of Alaskan's signature alder smoke malts. Imperial Pumpkin Porter was released on August 1st in participating markets. Odd Man Rush Brewing of Eagle River will be doing another release of its popular Mammoth Dust IPA in September. Here's what the brewery had to say about this beer. Quote, "We were approached by the Boneyard up in Fairbanks to brew a beer for their business, which is collecting bones and fossils of long-extinct animals such as short-faced bear, saber-toothed tiger, and the mighty mammoth. As brewers, our initial thought was a mammoth-like imperial stout, big and bold. However, the Boneyard requested a New England-style IPA, which has been on our to-brew list for some time. So we went for it, albeit the style doesn't scream mammoth, it does have mammoth DNA as we ground up some mammoth tusk to mammoth dust and threw it into the boil. Think mammoth dust, not fairy dust. It's a juicy, fruity, hazy IPA brewed with Mosaic, Citra, and Eldorado hops. When people ask you what you drink, tell them you drink mammoth." That's it for this month's beer news. Next up, we'll have the first half of our interviews at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. This is KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We're here with Don and Sherry Stead of Grace Ridge Brewing from Homer. So, Don, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. So, this is your second time here, right? You were here a third time here. Okay, great. So I think most of our listeners probably know about you guys down in Homer, but why don't you tell them which one of your brews you brought up to offer?
Picnic Harbor IPA, which is a light-bodied IPA that right along with the dry hop, we added cracked black pepper, which is an interesting effect. It causes that bitterness at the end to really linger, and it's actually quite pleasant. It tastes very good. It's very light, so I like that one. And the Scurvy Creek Scottish, which is my son went to England and Scotland this year, and when he came back, he's like, "I got to brew a Scottish." So this is his representation. I'm not going to say it's a pure Scottish ale, but it's a nice red ale, very pleasant to drink.
So I know one of the unique things you guys do is you always donate all your tips from your tap room to local charities. So who's getting the tips this month?
Homer Animal Friends. Going to the dogs.
Well, hey, thanks so much for coming down to, or in your case, coming up for the festival. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks,
we love doing this. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Here we are with Bear Paw River Brewing. We interviewed them on the phone not too long ago.
Jed Wade.
So, Jed, you know, like I said, we had an interview. We've talked about how you guys are one of the fastest growing breweries in the country. So tell us about what you brought to pour this time.
Yeah, so we have our three core beers today, Frontiersman IPA, Matt Made Milk Stout, and our Hatcher Pass Pale Ale. And then for the connoisseur session, we brought some Humdinger IPA, which is a 6% mosaic hopped IPA, and then a few cans of our Valley Trash.
Some of the Valley Trash.
And Bill, I brought for you a can just special for you that you can take home and try at your convenience.
Well, I thank you so much. I've heard so much about Valley Trash, but never had a chance to taste the original, so I'm looking forward to tasting the recreation that you guys have had. Looked like last weekend your release party was pretty successful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There were former owners of the Great Bear out to support us, and a lot of people who had never been into the brewery before but were really excited about Valley Trash. So we had a great night.
So is this your second time down here for this?
This is our second or third. We're having so much fun. It's starting to blend together a little bit, but yeah, we're happy to be here.
Well, we sure appreciate you coming down for it and supporting the festival here. So thanks so much.
Got it. Thanks, Bill.
So we're here now with Ed Miner from Gacona Brewing Company, one of the smaller and more isolated breweries in the state, I think it's fair to say. Considering that one time I visited it, I thought I was going to get lost in the woods trying to get to your house. I think this is your first time here at the festival, right?
Yes, and we're happy to be here. It's a good honor. It's nice to be down, and this is a good fundraiser and for a worthy cause. And
sorry we couldn't arrange a little better weather for you. Usually this Rotary has an in hotline with the weather gods, but not this year.
Well, that's because I don't think they made their proper sacrifices.
Probably. So why don't you tell folks about yourself?
All right, well, we are on the Tok Cutoff Highway in the middle of we border the Wrangell-St. Elias National Park. It's the largest national park. The nearest brewery to us would be, I think, Arcosie, which is 189 miles to the west. And then going north to Fairbanks would be Hoodoo, I believe, would be the closest one going north. We started brewing I started as a home brewer in 2006, and people kept asking us to make beer for them, so we decided to go into the commercial side. Fought the licensing process for about 3 years to get through the state hoops. Finally got that, and now we've been a production brewery. This is our fourth year, and it's been slow, but we're growing, and it's where it's getting out, and people are liking the beers.
Yeah, you guys are on the Kona Lodge, and there's a couple of places in Anchorage I've seen. Is anywhere else if somebody's really looking for you where they should look for your beer?
Yes. This year we actually got a crowler machine, so we have crowler cans in the Copper River Basin area at the Gacona Lodge liquor store, the Bush Bottle and Grocery store, and then Tazliner Liquor for crowlers. On tap, we have it in the Copper River Basin area at Gacona Lodge, Trapper's Den Tavern, actually, and then Copper River Princess Lodge in Copper Center, and then also at the Copper Center Rail Depot in Copper Center. Then in Anchorage, we have our beer at Hacienda Mexican Restaurant on the bar, and then we have it at La Bodega on draft at the Growler Bar, Three Bears in Chugiak, and the Brown Jug in Eagle River. And we're supposed to be going on tap at some point at Artisan Hearth Pizza in Anchorage.
So what beers are you pouring at the festival?
Well, today we actually have a new release. It's called Dark Side of the Hair. It's a stout beer. It's a relatively low. It's the first one we've done. It's a low alcohol. It's the first one we've done. But it's got a very good flavor, and we're looking forward to making that part of our regular lineup. And then we have our flagship Killer Rabbit IPA, which is a East Coast style. It's not a Northeast. It's not a hazy. It's just a East Coast style. It's not super hoppy. So a lot of the people that are not hop fans really like it and say, oh, I can drink this IPA. And then we have our Bunny Berry Wheat, which is a mixture of black raspberry and blackberry and raspberry.
Well, great. Well, thanks for coming down, Ed. We really appreciate it. Hope we'll see you at a lot more of these festivals.
Well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate it, and thank you for stopping by.
whoever wants to chat.
We all want to chat, right?
Yeah, I don't want to chat.
Yeah, right.
We appreciate reluctance.
I'm supposed to be listening more, my wife's telling me.
Oh, there you go.
We got to get that. We got to get that.
Get it out of your system.
Yeah, okay. Oh, there we go.
So, hey, here we are with the guys from Girdwood who won the People's Choice last year with their No Woman, No Cryo beer. So why don't you fellas introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Rory Marenko here, one of the founders and brew engineers.
Josh Hagna, beer ambassador, one of the founders and marketing landscaper guy.
So you guys are doing great. I mean, I saw you were in a new listed as one of the top 50 new breweries. I think we talked about that on the radio when we interviewed you not too long ago. So how's everything else going up in Girdwood?
Oh, it's super good. Just still trying to literally keep up with the pace of demand. So that was a welcome surprise, that article, and it seems like that and other publicity we get has definitely driven traffic our way. So we're stoked.
And we just keep trying to get better, motivated to, you know, improve every aspect for the, you know, drinker's experience.
So what do you guys bring down to pour this time for our...
So of course we brought back the No Woman No Cryo, crowd favorite last year. A good, you know, rainy day, cool weather favorite, the Hippie Speedball or coffee oatmeal stout. And then for the connoisseur session right now, we're pouring the Dysfunctional, our double dry hop sour. And then later today, we'll be pouring the Salmon Slayer, our Saison. So.
Yes, I've had the Dysfunctional. That stuff's excellent. And the others are all excellent also. But the last time I think I was in your tap room, I had the Dysfunctional. So it's really good.
Get yourself some because it's limited supply. So.
Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for taking a few moments out to talk to us, and thanks for coming back to the festival. We really appreciate it.
Always.
Thank you for being a great ambassador of craft beer in Alaska, Bill. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks. Sorry we couldn't arrange a little bit better weather for you guys here. But,
this is good. This is good. Yeah.
We're here now with a Double Shovel Cidery from Anchorage. Should you tell our listeners your name?
Yeah, I'm Gideon Saunders with Double Shovel Cider Company.
So, Gideon, I think this is the first time you guys have been here?
No, we were here last year as well. Year. Okay, yep, great. We were here. We had our two flagship ciders. We had the Forget Me Hopped and the Appalanche, and this year we brought down our pineapple and our black currant sour.
I've heard some really good things about the pineapple.
Yeah.
So why don't you, for our listeners here on the peninsula who might not be familiar with you guys, why don't you tell them a little bit about Double Shovel?
Yeah, so we're the first Alaska-owned and operated hard apple cider company. We started in 2016-ish. We've got a tap room. We distribute all over the state. We are now have our two flagship models in cans. You can find them in all the Safeways and whatnot. We have the Forget Me Hopped and the Appalanche in can. And you know all the fine restaurants and establishments around the state. You can find a local cider now. So we're pretty proud of that and what we've established with the state.
Yeah, I know cider is getting very popular, particularly with the gluten-free crowd, because unlike beer, you guys, your product is gluten-free.
Yeah, it's gluten-free. It's typically what you would, it would be compliant with a lot of diets, right? I mean, it's low carb, relatively low carb. We ferment all the sugar out of the primary fermentation, and then any sugar that's added is added, you know, with our, you know, the pineapples or the apples at the end to sweeten it up a little bit for the semi-dry or the semi-sweet. But it's a dry cider. It's a craft, traditional craft cider. So it's very compliant with the gluten-free diet. So
great. Well, hey, thanks for coming down, and thanks for taking a few moments to talk
Absolutely.
To us.
Thanks for coming and seeing us.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Here we are with Matt Pahala, the man of the hour for the 8th annual Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, the man who thought it up in the first place and who makes it happen every year. So, Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Everything's coming together.
So it looks like another great festival, though I think you guys maybe were a little cheap on your sacrifices to the weather gods this year. They haven't quite come through like they usually do for you guys.
Well, just give it a minute. Give it a minute. We're doing a little cleansing right now of the grounds, and then things are going to clear up, I guarantee.
Great. So why don't you tell folks a little bit about the festival this year? I mean, I think he's got a new record number of breweries now, don't you?
Yeah, we do. 25 different vendors this year. And then, of course, some of the different distributors have a variety of beers from all over. This is our second year doing the Connoisseur Hour, and that sold out today. So right now we just opened up the Connoisseur time, and people are here and already digging in and enjoying it.
Yeah, so if I remember right, Connoisseur is limited to 200, right, the first hour?
It is, yep, and I think we hit that target pretty well. We're doing online ticket sales as well as physical, and so I had to, call the online and say, okay, stop selling, because, we're approaching that limit, but we might have a few more than 200.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a really good turnout again this year. So I know you typically sell out about 1,200 tickets total or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's typical. There's still tickets available right now, but we usually sell at least half of our general admission just at the door. So as far as the pre-sale tickets go, we're right where we always are. So if people aren't too afraid of the inclement weather, I think that we'll sell out again this year.
Great. And why don't you tell folks where the money goes?
Well, it's all for the Rotary Club of Soldotna's local projects. This year, one of the keystone projects that we have looking at is establishing a Japanese garden in honor of our sister city. And we're really looking forward to that. We've done a lot of groundwork for that. And so probably in the next 10 months or so, we'll get that launched. But then we always have some annual projects that we renew every year. And one of the big ones there is the Rotary Assistance for Transportation Fund that's administered through the Peninsula Foundation. And that's basically to help pay for some of the costs to get to and from hospital visits for folks that might not have the resources.
Well, that's great. Like, I know that you guys spend all the money that you raise right here on the peninsula supporting peninsula projects. So that's great. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, the things that we've been able to do because of the festival, it's increased every year. It seems like the festival gets a little bit better. And like I said, all the proceeds stay here in the community for projects that we can do. So, we're really happy for that.
Well, great, Matt. Looks like another good one. So thanks a lot for putting it on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it for our first half of our interviews at the Beer Festival. Next up is our feature story for this month, and we'll have more interviews later in the show. This is KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna.
Join us for the Veritas Variety Review as we aim to entertain while seeking what is true. With a plethora of mixed media, music, meandering discourse, and maybe a little mayhem. Tune into KDLL 91.9 at 7 p.m. on Saturday evenings, featuring a new thematic perspective with auditory stimulus to augment your analysis of the universe.
Welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. In this month's feature story, we'll be talking about two craft brewing states, Maine and Alaska. Maine and Alaska are two states that are often compared to each other. Since I just spent a week in Maine visiting my wife's family, I thought I'd take a look at the state's craft brewing scene in comparison to Alaska's, giving special emphasis to how the state's governments treat craft brewing. First off, let's do some statistics. All of these numbers are for 2017, the latest data available. Alaska had 36 craft breweries, which works out to 6.8 breweries for every 100,000 drinking age adults, ranking us sixth in the United States. Maine had 99 craft breweries, working out to 9.6 breweries for every 100,000 drinking age adults, ranking third in the U.S. In Alaska, the economic impact of craft brewing was $232 million, which translates to a per capita impact of $511.80 per resident. Maine's economic impact was over twice Alaska's at $476 million, but due to its larger population, the per capita impact was only $471.45 per resident. Finally, in overall production, Alaska brewed 204,302 barrels in 2017, or 12 gallons for every drinking age adult. Maine brewed 319,590 barrels, or 9.6 gallons per adult. So the statistics tell us that, after adjusting for the population differences, Maine and Alaska have roughly comparable craft brewing industries. The major difference between Alaska and Maine is that Alaska issues its alcohol licenses on a quota system, ostensibly based on an area's population, and Maine does not. Besides Alaska, the following states are also quota states: Arizona, California, Florida, Idaho, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Utah, and Washington. The license quotas, along with many other onerous alcohol laws, were adopted in the wake of the 21st Amendment's repeal of prohibition. While admitting that the noble experiment had failed, politicians wasted no time imposing regulations to temper what they saw as the many societal ills caused by alcohol. Besides a shared historical genesis, however, these rules share another critical feature. They make a lot of money for specific groups of people. All regulations have the ability to create winners and losers, and this phenomenon is particularly obvious in quota systems, whether they be for fishing or selling alcohol. Economists notice that the winners often are a concentrated group, such as beer wholesalers, whereas the losers, consumers usually, are diffuse. Our beers are a bit pricier, our choices a bit constrained, and we might need to visit more than one kind of store to stock up for a party, but these costs are barely noticeable to all but the most well-informed drinkers. Yet all these little costs add up to princely sums for quota holders, motivating them to defend the lucrative status quo through lobbyists and political donations. Economists call this legitimate racket regulatory capture. When a regulatory scheme is transformed into a competition-stifling tool of the ostensibly regulated industry, that industry has captured the regulations. Regulatory capture, in turn, encourages rent-seeking behavior. In quota states, holders of liquor license see them as fairly liquid assets, retirement packages that rarely depreciate in value and can be sold relatively quickly when the time comes to hang up the bar apron. Moreover, people make investments in liquor licenses based on the implicit assumption of a fairly stable market. If I paid $250,000 today for a beverage dispensary license in Soldotna, assuming there was one currently for sale, which I don't believe there is, and tomorrow Alaska removed its quota system, I would lose $250,000 overnight. Like all quota license holders, I would have a considerable financial stake in maintaining the status quo. Existing licensees tend to fight legislative efforts to remove or significantly raise the quotas, as those reforms both increase competition and destroy the value of the license cum asset. We saw that earlier this year when the bar owners' attempts in the Alaska legislature to amend SB 76 to hamstring brewery taprooms even more than they already are. Moreover, because quota licenses are arguably valuable property in the eyes of the law, license holders will be able to launch constitutional challenges to any reforms that destroy the license market for violating the Fifth Amendment's taking and due process clauses. The laws are as entrenched as they are archaic, and unfortunately, we can't simply ignore them. Unlike Alaska, Maine has no quota system for its licenses. While you still need approval from the municipality in which your brewery will be located, the state places no limitations on the number or location of breweries. Furthermore, Maine offers a small brewery license for only $50 per year plus a $10 application fee. Such a license allows the holder to produce up to 50,000 gallons, or just over 1,600 barrels per year. To produce more requires a standard brewery license, which costs $1,000 per year. Contrast this with Alaska, where even the smallest brewery must pay $1,000 plus a $500 application fee. Which state sounds like it is actually encouraging brewers to start up? The same stark contrast is evident when you look at the state excise tax rates. Maine is content with a $10.85 per barrel or 35 cent per gallon tax. Alaska feels the need to tax beer at more than triple Maine's rate, charging $33.17 per barrel or $1.07 per gallon. Again, one state seems to see craft brewing as an asset to be cultivated and encouraged, while the other seems to think it's a sheep to be sheared. Besides not trying to crush its breweries with regulations or tax them to death, Maine is also willing to try to help spread the word about them. Whenever I stopped in a brewery tap room, I would find copies of the Maine Brew Guide. This glossy magazine is produced twice a year and is a joint effort between the Maine Brewers Guild, the Maine Tourism Association, the Maine Convention and Visitors Bureau, and the Maine Chambers of Commerce. It's published each year in the spring and the fall, and among other things, has a complete listing of every brewery in the state, along with its location and taproom hours. What a super valuable publication for any beer-loving tourist. Imagine if similar entities in Alaska were willing to partner with our Brewers Guild to produce something comparable. Instead, our Alcohol Beverage Control Board spends its time trying to ensure no one is having any undue fun in our brewery taprooms. In the end, I took away one simple observation from my trip to Maine. Both Maine and Alaska have great craft breweries and produce some excellent craft beers. The primary difference between them seems to be that the Maine brewers do so with the help of their state government, while Alaska's brewers do it in spite of all the hardships inflicted upon them by theirs. That's it for this month's feature. Coming up, we'll have the second half of our interviews at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.
So we're here talking with Odd Man Rush Brewing.
My name is Kenny.
So Kenny, this is your guys' first time down here to the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, why don't you tell folks a little bit about your brewery and what beers you're pouring?
Well, we're a small brewery that started out with three hockey players that grew up in Eagle River. They just wanted to come back and make some beer and where they grew up, have that family and local support. As far as the beer that we have, we brought a really nice Gose, the Scottish, and the Enforcer, which is Enforcer IPA, which is our flagship beer for the Conyers Sewer Session. We brought a Russian Imperial. It turned out, we put it in the barrels and it turned a little sour on us, but it actually ended up being very good. It turned out more like a gruit than anything else, but it's a fantastic beer.
You guys are up in Eagle River. Have any new or unusual beers that you're getting ready to release? Anything that folks, if they're traveling through Eagle River, should stop and check out in particular?
Absolutely. We do have our barley wine, which is our first barrel-aged barley wine. That is still available. As far as new and interesting, I would definitely recommend checking out this Russian Imperial when it does get released. We're bringing back the Regal Eagle IPA, which is a nice brother to the Enforcer IPA. We also have our Pepper Blonde, which is going to be released next month, I believe, as well.
Well, hey, Kenny, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
We're here with Matt Nuska Brewing Company, only been open a couple of months, their first time here at the Kenai Peninsula Festival. Tell our listeners your name.
Hi, folks. Matt Tomter visiting Kenai, enjoying the outdoor weather and the festivities. It's awesome.
You guys have only been open for a couple of months. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about your brewery?
Sure, yeah. Matanuska, we opened up our first brew was on February 14th on Valentine's Day, and it was a good way to start the year. Our head brewer is Kevin Burton from Glacier Brewhouse. He was there for 20 years and kind of formed up together and opened this brewery up, and it's going great. We're distributed all over the state, and we have four flagship beers now that we're serving, and soon to have a whole bunch more.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned it in the past on the show, but why don't you tell folks what your four flagships are?
Just oh, absolutely, sure. Well, we have two IPAs. We have all our beers have an outdoor theme to them. We kind of spend a lot of time outside. And so we've got a Pack Raft Red IPA, a Long Track, which is a snow machine kind of themed beverage on the can. And that's another IPA, a white ale, and a pale ale.
And you guys are distributing all your stuff in cans, right? So people should be able to find them in their local package stores.
Yep, I know they have them up at Sackett's, and they're in every Brown Jug and Safeway and Fred Meyer. So they're all over in those spots, and guys all over the place. So we're really fortunate that we've been able to get out so rapidly and so quick in so many places.
Well, great. Well, hey, like I said, we sure appreciate you guys coming down to our festival here, and we hope we'll see you again.
We'll be here. We're having a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Cheers.
Cheers. Tell our listeners your name.
Rusty Swan from Kenai.
Okay, Rusty, so tell us what you think of the beer festival here.
Well, the weather could have been kinder, but all things considered, always a great time. It's amazing to see how this has grown since the first year. What's this, 3 years, 4 years?
This is the eighth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Started in 2011.
I remember over at the old Glacier
car dealership
that year. That was great. But, yeah, it's amazing the amount of brewers that have in the state. You've seen them from everywhere now.
And it's nice that so many of them have come down here.
Obviously become one of the events in the state, I assume, for brewers. Heck, we're even doing it in the wintertime down here now.
Yes, well, then we have Frozen River Fest now, too. Yeah. So what are you drinking?
Quite honestly, I've forgotten. Broken Tooth. Triple something. Actually, it's very tasty. But it's just nice trying different beers. Where else can you go and be able to sample within the 3 or 4 hours, sample from all over the state?
That's what makes Beer Fest special. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us, Rusty. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Board member duties.
So. Here's another one of our patrons here at the festival, Dave Brighton. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Bill. How are you?
Good. Good. So what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the sour from Girdwood. Dysfunctional, that's
yes,
what it is.
That's what I'm drinking. Quite good. So what do you think of the fest this year?
I think it's raining a lot, but it's good. You know, I'm getting around, just getting a little sample of things, trying to decide the beers that I really want to drink right now.
Good. Well, I think we got more breweries at this one than we've ever had in the past, so there's a lot of stuff to choose from.
Yeah.
You went fruity this year, I know. Last time I went hoppy, this time I went fruity.
You're going to go like 10% stouts.
It's not that time of year, man.
That's
it's supposed to be sunny and warm.
It's always that time of year.
You know what? I do. I have a 9.8% Baltic Imperial Porter, but I didn't bring it. And then I have another Imperial Pumpkin Porter that'll be coming out soon.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, hey, we're here at the Alaskan Brewing Company booth. Tell our listeners your name.
My name is Ryan Johnson.
Okay, so, Ryan, why don't you tell the folks what you're pouring here for everybody?
Okay, well, this year I decided to change it up a little bit. We went a little fruity. We start with the Alaska White, which has orange peel and coriander in it. It has kind of a citrus note. Our Raspberry Wheat, which is one of our pilot series beers, is made with a pound of raspberries per barrel. Our Cranberry Tart, which is our new seasonal. It's replacing our Kolsch, formerly known as Summer Ale. It's got cranberries and Sitka spruce tips in there. Kind of a tart and sweet thing going on with it. It's really, really good. And then our Strawberry Blonde, which is one of our rough draft beers, also made with fresh strawberries. Nice, light, got a really good strawberry flavor to it. So
your rough draft, that's a series of kind of experimental beers that you're releasing for those of our listeners that don't know.
Absolutely, yeah. So the way it works is anybody at the brewery can brew a beer, and then it gets scaled up. We put it in our break room. If it scores high enough in the break room, we may pour it in our tasting room downstairs. If not, we may ramp it up to a 10-barrel system, which is kind of our research and development program. So rough draft is a play on words. It's not a final draft. It's available in draft only. And, yeah, it's available in limited quantities. So you can get it at a select few places around town, but in draft only. But it's a way for us to come up with new ideas and recipes.
Well, great. Hey, thanks, Ryan. I see you got some trade here. So yeah. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Appreciate it.
So, hey, we're here with Darcy from Midnight Sun Brewing Company. So, Darcy, hey, welcome back to the festival.
Woohoo! It's one of our favorite ones. We're happy to be here.
So, what are you guys pouring this year?
We came big. We heard it was going to rain, so we thought we'd bring some nice warm beers. So, we've got the Panty Peeler Belgian Tripel, Sockeye Red IPA, Matanuska Thunderfunk, which is our Belgian, or our Saison, barrel aged with bread, and the Termination Dust Belgian Barley Wine.
Oh, very nice. So that would have to be last year's Termination Dust, right?
Because it is last year's Termination Dust. I got a little excited because Lee announced that the Termination Dust is ready to come out of the barrels for this year. So we've got our package date set, and now we just have to wait for the snow to get this year's batch.
Excellent, excellent. So what else new and exciting have you guys got in the pipeline?
Coming on the next couple weeks, we have the Angler, which is our Sour Red. It'll be the last beer in our Alaskan Adventure Series coming out. We're working on a beer for the Gold Star Peak, which is a foundation that helps veteran survivors. And they've got a really...
flag beer, or am I confusing that with one? I saw the label for it on the Facebook the other day.
Oh, looking in Rock Flag Cryo. That was our, we did a, it's kind of in the summer, pale ales around there. We've been playing around with it. So they did a pale ale with cryo hops in that. We sold out already. Like, it came and went fast. We've been doing that kind of limited edition can program. And typically, as soon as we open it up to retail sales, it's gone. But the Gold Star Peak is going to be a nice Belgian. They're going to do a smash with it. And we'll be releasing that in September as they officially name the Gold Star Peak the Gold Star Peak.
Well, for our listeners who don't know, smash means single malt, single hop beer. Well, hey, Darcy, that all sounds wonderful. So thanks again for coming down to the festival. We sure appreciate it.
Always good. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Thanks, Darcy. So, hey, we're here with another one of the patrons of the festival. Why don't you tell our listeners your name?
My name is Terry.
Terry, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. So what do you think of the festival this year?
This is absolutely one. We've never missed one. We've been to every single one of them. It is rainy, which is not ideal, but these kind people right here at Specialty Imports move their tables back so we have a little bit of cover.
So what are you drinking right now?
Right now, they told me that this was wonderful. Let me grab it for you. But it's right at the very end here. It's actually a clear, it's a hard cider.
Okay.
It's delicious.
Excellent. So are you a cider aficionado? Or?
Actually, I'd never had one until I was here last year when Double Shovel came and they have the hard ciders. They are amazing and they're really, really helpful for people who are gluten intolerant.
Enjoy yourself. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, here's another patron at the festival, Donna. Donna, tell us what you think of this year's festival.
Well, so far it has been fabulous. We've tried lots of beers and some cider, and the people are wonderful, and it's just a great experience.
Have you got a favorite so far?
I kind of have to go with the Street Duck Lime so far.
Okay, that's the from
KBR.
Mm-hmm. Kenai River. Okay, great.
But I've only had four, so.
How many of these festivals have you been to?
This is our first one. And my husband and I are celebrating our 23rd wedding anniversary today.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. Are you here because you like beer, he likes beer, or you both like beer?
He likes beer.
Okay. So you're a saint, and he got this, you to do this for your wedding anniversary. Most people are looking for something a little more romantic than standing in the rain drinking beer, but...
We're Alaskans.
There you go. That's right. Well, hey, Donna, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us and really enjoy yourself at the festival and happy 23rd and wish you many, many more.
That's it for our interviews from the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. It was a great time for all concerned in spite of the weather. And if you missed it this year, be sure to check it out again next year. We'll be right back in a moment with the rest of our show. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.
Calling all KDLL listeners. Would you like to have a direct voice into what you hear on the air? KDLL is seeking members for its Community Advisory Board. The CAB meets quarterly to gather public input and evaluate how well KDLL programming meets the needs of the community. If this gets your ring of approval, contact Jenny at KDLL at info@kdll.org or 283-8433.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell. For our last segment this month, let's talk beer gear. In this month's beer gear, I thought I'd talk a bit about a couple of things out there that would be of interest to any homebrewers listening. First, let's talk about temperature control. Maintaining proper temperatures during fermentation is one of the most difficult yet crucial aspects of brewing beer. It's especially important if you want to produce lagers, as lager yeast likes fermentation temperatures around 35 degrees Fahrenheit. The pros handle this by having fermenters with glycol cooling jackets, while some home brewers have dedicated refrigerators. However, if like me, you have limited space that you can devote to your home brewing apparatus, you might want to consider a brew jacket. The brew jacket is a solid-state immersion chiller rod that fits inside many fermentation carboy designs. The brew jacket can bring your homebrew temperature as low as 35 degrees Fahrenheit or 20 degrees Celsius below the ambient temperature of your house for a 5-gallon batch. This means that so long as temperatures are no greater than 70 degrees, you can brew lager beers without a refrigerator. It also adds the ability to heat as well as cool, providing the perfect environment for any yeast in just about any ambient setting. Is your house at 62 degrees, but your ale yeast needs to be at 69 to brew the perfect IPA? Are you aiming for an ester-rich Belgian ale that needs to ferment at 78 degrees? Just set the temperature that you'd like to ferment at and sit back. The brew jacket isn't cheap. A typical setup will run you between $300 and $400. However, if you're serious about controlling your fermentation temperatures and don't have the space for a dedicated refrigerator, it's a great solution. The second homebrewing tool I'd like to talk about is the SS BrewTech Brew Bucket. The Brew Bucket is a 7-gallon 304 stainless steel fermenter. Some of its features are a conical base with a rotatable racking arm. It's stackable during fermentation, so it saves space. There's a 3/8 inch mini ball valve for transfers and gravity samples. There's a wide lid with secure spring clamps. There's a 17 millimeter port in the lid, which allows for 1/2 inch blow off tubing. It has welded carry handles, and in the interior, there are etched volume markings in both gallons and liters. At only $200, it makes a great step up from plastic or glass fermenters. There's a reason the pros brew in stainless steel, and now homebrewers can do it too. Oh, and it just happens to be fully compatible with the brew jacket I just talked about, meaning you can exercise good temperature control in it as well. So there are two ideas for you homebrewers out there. PFDs are coming up. Why not earmark a few hundred for upgrading your equipment? It'll be the gift that keeps on giving you back good quality homebrew. Well, that's it for this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. And let's do this month's closing quote from Arthur E. Mann. There is a unique quality about beer in that it both soothes and stimulates. In its infinite variety, from the lightest of the light lagers through the noblest of bitters and stouts to the heaviest of ales, a choice can be made which will please any palate, suit any climate, fit any occasion, and blend with any dish. Until next month, cheers.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here. IPAs, ales and stouts, pilsners, porters too. Microbrew, homebrew, any craft you choose. Look before you leap, sip before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think. Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst. Your thirst.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here. Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
You ever wondered how much fish we sell on the Kenai? Or how much oil comes from here, what it's all worth, and what it all means? Well, we have too. That's why we created Econ 91.9, a weekly look at the Kenai Peninsula's economy, what makes it work, and who makes it work. Tune in each Friday at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. for new numbers, emerging trends, and a bit of trivia. Econ 91.9, Friday mornings at 9 and again at 5, right here on KDLL, public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula.